Hello, my name is Julia Widup and I'm an interviewer with What Should I Be? If you'd like to get more information on What Should I Be, please visit our website at www.whatshouldibe.me, where we have complete and free access to a wide variety of interviews with persons from careers from all over the world. Today I'm speaking with Kate Farley, and she is the director for a website for insurance brokers in Australia. So, Kate, tell us a little about what a website director does.
Everything, pretty much. Because it's a startup, I'm looking after the development, the graphic design, the some elements of the website coding, but also the accounts, the sales, pretty much, yeah, start to finish. It's all me.
Everything. Okay. And is this a big association of insurance brokers?
I'm aiming to be, but there is a large the National Insurance Brokers Association, which is the key body in Australia. So they're my main competition, really, but I've also been able to speak to them and make them an ally. So they're featured on the website at the moment because I don't have a lot of brokers on board. So as I get more brokers, their advertising will decrease. But yeah, because it's really a partnership at the moment, which is really good.
Oh, that's great. How did you come up with this idea?
I just wanted to think about a way that we could communicate with Generation Y. My last role in the insurance industry was at an underwriting agency. We had a hospitality facility, so for motels and accommodation, and we actually used TripAdvisor a lot in our underwriting. So when we'd get a risk to decide what the premium would be or if we wanted to write it, we'd go onto TripAdvisor and have a look at the reviews left by consumers. So whether, you know, if they'd made a comment about a leaking tap in the bathroom or something, that could be a tripping hazard, which is a potential liability exposure. So it's quite an interesting tool to use in a commercial environment.
And what's it called? Truth Advisor?
Trip Advisor.
Troop.
Trip.
T-R-I-P. T-R-I-P. Trip Advisor. Oh, okay. Okay. And then you would read the comments for the guests left, and that's how you would decide what their premiums should be.
Because we had a very specific facility with cheaper rates, so if they were a higher quality motel, then they were eligible for the facility.
That's
the concept that I came up with for Get Informed, of applying that to insurance brokers. So part of Get Informed is that it's not just a listing for insurance brokers. Consumers are also able to provide a rating for their broker.
And how would you say your previous jobs led you to get into this field that you're in now?
Well, I started out in the industry not actually knowing what insurance was, really. I was 21, I think. Yeah, I was 21. And I started with Adroit Insurance Group as just a receptionist, and I didn't even know what insurance really was, let alone an insurance broker. But as I developed into the role and understood the process, I really really grew to love the industry and just what it can do for people. Insurance is amazing. Like, it's not guaranteed. You shouldn't necessarily have your house burned down and then be able to just replace it. But insurance gives you that ability. And then not only that, but on a smaller scale, like, you can pay extra for accident, loss or damage. And if you drop your iPhone down the toilet, you can replace it. So I think it's just such an amazing thing that we have at our disposal. And I don't think it's utilized by or understood by enough people. So that's what I found when I was working as a receptionist, and then I moved into an account broking role from there to an underwriting agency, and then, yeah, to where I am now.
Wow. So you started in the industry at 21, and now you have your own website / agency, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Great. And what kind of education did you need for this?
I just an attitude, I think, is the key. I straight out of high school, I took a gap year and worked and saved money, and I went to Europe, did the Kentucky tour thing.
Uh-huh.
So that was good. And then I started a law degree because that's what I'd got into out of high school. In Australia, you finish, we've got primary school and then high school, you finish high school in year 12 at the age of about 18, 19. And then from there you go on to university. So I took a year off, basically a gap year, and worked. But then I started my law degree. But after a year, I didn't really think that it was right for me. I didn't really want to do it. So I just quit, basically.
You just quit college even?
Yeah. I just thought, I'm just going to take a break and figure out what I want to do in life. And then I can always go back to uni later. So that's actually what I did. It was really hard to find a job to start with. I had no idea it was going to be that hard to find a job with no experience and no qualification, but eventually someone hired me. Took, I think, 6 weeks of unemployment and torture.
That's not too bad these days.
Yeah. It was pretty hard to go through then, but I think it just, builds character.
And what would you say, let's say that somebody did finish or they did plan on finishing college, what could they shoot for? What kind of major should they take, and what kind of entry level position should they shoot for?
Well, right now I'm actually studying a Bachelor of Commerce. I went back to uni when I was when I was in my second job in the insurance industry. I was just a little bit bored, so I took up uni part time as well as working full time, and now I'm in my now I'm in my final year, and I'm majoring in e-business. And it turns out that that's actually what I'm setting up. Get Informed is an e-business, and I'm not really sure if that was fate or just coincidence.
Oh, so you can major in e-business?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Neither did I. So when I was looking of what the majors were, because I just thought I'll do a Bachelor of Commerce business because that's pretty general, and then that'll help me in whatever I decide to do in the insurance industry. And then I was looking at what major to do, and I saw they had e-business, and I thought that's the way everything's going back in 2005. The world's all going electronic, so I should do e-business.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That's a wonderful idea. Okay.
Yeah.
So your college, what college is that?
Deakin University.
In?
I study off campus, so.
Oh, okay. So it's even, do they give degrees worldwide, or how does that work?
Yeah, they actually do postgrad. They've got, they're linked in India, because I did an India study tour in November last year. I imagine that you could do it anywhere in the world. I know one of the girls who was on the India study tour was actually completing her degree off campus, but she was in London.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, what is the study tour? That's just so you can meet with all the other people in your class?
It was really, as part of your university degree, you do units, and then you do 24 units over 3 years or 6 years, however long it takes you, and then that equals your degree. So you're actually able to, the India study tour can account for one or two of the units So basically it's an entire 3-month course, but you can knock it out in the tour period, which was 18 days, and then supplement that with assignments.
Wow, because it's so intense.
Yeah, because you're there and you just...
You're living it.
Yeah, living it, basically, and, yeah, soaking up all the culture and the atmosphere. And, yeah, so it was basically like doing... Because we did international law and also, electronic commerce on the internet kind of thing.
Did you get to see one of those big call centers in India?
No, we didn't actually.
Oh, I want to see one of those customer service places, you know, with...
Yeah, that would have been really fascinating, but no, we didn't. But we did see the Taj Mahal, so that was awesome.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds nice.
we visited 3 other universities over there, so that was interesting to meet the other students and see just their culture and their focus. It's amazing the love of family that they have and the respect that they have for their parents. We don't even have that in Australia, let alone in the US. You see stuff on the telly, and like these kids in India, you're asking them why they don't have a smartphone. Like, oh, because my parents say I can't have one. So in Australia, you just go out and buy one. You wouldn't actually listen to your parents, but they do.
I think that's good.
As an 18-year-old, I mean, isn't it? Like, as an adult, because these were university students.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't let go of them as early as we do.
No, not even in Australia.
What are the things you like best about the insurance field?
I just really love that you can help people when they're in need, really. A lot of the time, insurance is just paying money for a what-if scenario that's never going to happen. But when it actually comes time to have a claim and someone's really distressed, it's at the worst point in their life. They're really vulnerable because they've just been burgled or they've had a massive storm rip through their home or they've been flooded. Being able to help them and say, it's going to be okay, it's all covered, that's the best part of insurance. Because you get to tell them that it's going to be okay.
In a practical way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just the best friend who's patting them on the shoulder saying, don't worry. Giving them money. So
Right. Yeah. Wow, that does sound like a good one. What are the things you like least about it?
Probably the people who don't understand because they haven't had a claim and then losing a client. Because they're just going to, so an insurance broker has access to a higher level of product, but it's also at a higher level of price. So when you lose a client to a direct insurance company where they're saving $300 a year, you know that that's going to impact them when they have a claim and they're not going to be covered. So that's the worst part, knowing that they're getting an inferior product and they're going to come back to you in 12 months time or 2 years time and say, I'm really sorry, I made a mistake, I shouldn't have left you, and now my $10,000 ring isn't covered because their limit's only $2,000. So it's just, yeah, that's the hardest part of people not understanding the real benefit that you have of using an insurance broker. But that's why I started getting informed, to kind of change consumer perceptions and improve the broker's reputation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting. Okay. What is it like? What's an average week like, or day? Let's say an average day.
For an insurance broker?
No, for your job. You're a website director, right?
I check emails.
Uh-huh.
And then I check emails and check emails.
It's a lot of emailing.
Yeah. It's a lot of your day, I guess.
And phone calling.
Yeah. Yeah. And chasing people up and just finding out if they do want to subscribe to the website, because I have to, at the moment I'm really selling subscriptions to brokers, and then because it's only a couple of weeks old, the site's only just gone live.
Oh, okay.
And but I've got 10 brokers on board now, which is pretty exciting, and I'm aiming to get it up to 100 by the end of by 30th of June.
So you launched this on the basis of what you had learned in school about e-business?
Some of that, I guess, a lot of it's intuition too, but yeah, at university we did study elements and just what's in terms of marketing, what messages get through to consumers and what doesn't. So using to different terminologies, yeah, that I did learn in university, in college, I guess.
Okay. And do you have a mentor, or is someone helping you with this?
A couple of the larger industry representatives, they've given their support. I haven't quite needed their feedback yet, but I know it's there if I do need it. As far as my parents kind of raised me to be a little bit stubborn and independent, so I don't really even ask for their advice or their opinion. But yeah, everyone's always there if you need it, and they're helpful with giving you feedback. So you just have to ask for it, I guess. If you're open enough to ask for support, people are always there. You just have to take that first step and acknowledge that you don't necessarily know everything, and other people do have valuable experience and advice to give. If I could tell young people one thing, that would be it. Just don't be so stubborn. Don't be so, self-obsessed. Listen to other people, and because they really do have something to offer. Everyone
Right.
has their story.
Yeah. And what are some of the most difficult or challenging things you've faced up till now?
I think the scariest thing was actually making the choice and backing myself, basically. At this point in our life, my partner and I, we don't have any kids and we don't have a mortgage. We haven't got married yet. So taking that risk to quit my full-time job and start an online business with no money, that was pretty scary. But Andrew's been really supportive of me throughout this whole process, and he's picked me up on. It's a roller coaster ride starting your own business, and because it's all you. There's no one there. It's not like in school or at home or at another job where you've got an employer. You've got no one telling you what to do. You just have to make all the choices yourself and believe in yourself, basically. And sometimes that's really hard to on the down days to still believe in yourself. So I think yeah, having a support network of people, of friends and family, and my partner Andrew, he's been really great throughout the whole thing, just to get me through the
Keep
down points of
encouraging you.
until I get to the top again, because yeah, it's a roller coaster ride, and you eventually will get to the top.
And what tips or suggestions could you share with anyone who might be thinking this would be a good fit for them? I'm thinking, the website director, because.
Yeah, starting their own business, you just have to have a direction and a passion. I think I'm so passionate about the insurance industry, and I really want to make this work because I really want to change the way consumers feel and think about insurance. So I think if you've got a passion for anything, you can make it happen. You just have to have the tools, which is the knowledge and the belief in yourself, and don't be afraid to fall down, I guess. Because if you're really afraid of it, you're probably going to subconsciously make it happen, and sabotage yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, you'll fall. But just keep going, I think, is the message there.
Okay, and what kind of tips would you give them about education? Let's say they're thinking website director, that's what I want to do. What would you specifically say they should take or do?
Well, a general bachelor of business. What would you have in the US?
I didn't know anybody had e-business, so I'm not sure.
Or just a general commerce degree, or so that's all I have, and then the specific subjects major in how that applies to the internet. But yeah, if you wanted to, it depends what element you wanted to do, or whether you wanted to do web design or whether you wanted to do the whole thing like I am. I outsource a lot of things, so I get people to do the graphic design, and I have a web designer, and I pay them a lot of money. But essentially, I still have to understand what they do. So I think as long as you have a general understanding of a lot of little things, you can pull that together and understand where they're coming from. So you don't necessarily have to be the best at everything. You just have to know a little bit about each thing, so you can put it all together and you can talk in their language. Mm-hmm. I found that especially important with the web designer, because he would say things to me and say, "Oh, you didn't tell me this, or you didn't tell me that." I'm like, well, I didn't know.
I didn't know that you needed to.
I didn't know that I needed to tell you that. But now I do, so it's all a learning experience.
Wow, okay. And are there such things as internet internships?
Yeah, I imagine so. There's always a large company out there to work for. I mean, you've got Facebook and Google. But as far as, yeah, starting out on your own, a lot of people would, you know, it's important to get that customer service knowledge and understand your target audience. So I've worked in both a customer-facing role as a broker, but also a broker-facing role as an underwriter. So I know and understand, and I've spoken to both of my customer bases. So I think that's really important, whether you have a job working at you know, McDonald's, as long as you've got a basic understanding of your customer base and you can talk to people and then apply that, because every job you have to talk to people. It doesn't matter if you're locked away in an office, you're still going to have to communicate with people. So I think that's a really important skill for young people to learn, especially conflict resolution, dealing with a range of different conflicts, understanding how to approach those. It's really important, a really important skill for people, for young people to learn early on so that they can succeed later, because it's a real struggle if you don't get a handle on that early. I was really lucky that I started at Safeway. So it's a major supermarket chain.
Mm-hmm. We have.
And I was able to become a front end supervisor, managing all of the checkout operators.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I got a lot of experience with conflict resolution there, with people returning goods, not being happy with them, and having to manage that situation. You might not think that that would ever happen in the real world, like in an e-business situation, but it still does. I still have to manage conflict with my web designer, with a broker who might not be satisfied with the service. It's still all relevant. So don't necessarily discount anything that, you know, you're going through maths in primary school and you're not understanding, why do I have to do this? And then you get to the checkout and you're able to do math in your head. That's why you do these things. You might not understand it at the time, but further down the track, it'll all be relevant.
Right. Okay. So if someone wanted to like follow in your footsteps, maybe, but give them a little tip about how to avoid the pitfalls and do what you've done, kind of like a roadmap to success, what would you say? How would you tell someone about the steps needed?
Get as much experience as you can, but don't be afraid to have faith in yourself. I stayed in my first job a lot longer than I needed to. The receptionist job with a Droid Insurance Group, I wasn't able to leave there because I felt a sense of loyalty. I didn't want to actually move on from there because I felt they'd done the right thing by me and I should just wait it out. But my employers there, they understood that, and they understood me and knew that I had more to do and more to offer. And they knew that they couldn't offer that because it just wasn't a position in the company. So they actually helped me understand that I could leave and move on. And they you know, established a sense of self-esteem, I guess, because I was only 20 years old, and all young people, they have self-esteem issues, and I wasn't immune to that. So they helped develop that. And then when in my second full-time position, I was then able to recognize when I was ready to leave there as well because of that experience at Adroit. I understood I've developed into this role and there's no room for me to grow here. So I'm going to move on. I think being able to recognize that in yourself, and don't stay in a job where you're unhappy. Don't stay in a job where you've got no opportunity for development. Just get to that point where you recognize you've done all you can and you've learned all you can, and then move on from there.
Mm-hmm.
But don't do it in a in a nasty way. Don't wait until you're bitter and twisted and you feel resentment towards your employer. Just understand the process and understand that they employ you to do a role, but that doesn't mean that you have to stay in that role. You can move on and change jobs.
They will always need a secretary, but if you need to move on, you need to move on.
That's right. Because as a receptionist, it took me a while to learn that. It took me 18 months to learn a lesson I probably should have learned in 6 months. So that was a big, I lost a lot of time there, I guess, just learning that. But I'm glad that I did. I don't have any regrets about my journey. But for other young people, I'd encourage them to think about themselves and where they want to go, and don't let fear stop you.
Okay. All right. And so you probably have goals. You're probably still moving forward, right? You have goals beyond this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to see Get Informed expand beyond insurance. I've only lasted 18 months in each role I've been in, so I'm expecting Get Informed, once it's developed, I'll like to employ somebody else to, or employ a team to take it over, and I'd like to move on to, you know, Get Informed in the health industry or the legal industry, to see how it can be applied there, of educating consumers on a lot of the unnecessary middlemen that we have, and just really investigating it as to what value they have to offer. Like, even nutritionists and dietitians, there's a lot of there's a real lack of understanding of what each of those professions have to offer. So I think, just being able to become a central point of information to people, that's what I'd like Get Informed to be. So not just Get Informed insurance, but Get Informed in general. So for anyone who's got a question, they can feel confident that they'll get an unbiased, monetarily motivated response, because I don't really have a financial interest in any of the brokers. They all get charged a flat fee. There's no commission. It's just, I just want to provide information to people. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Wow. And so what, no, you didn't really know you were going to this point. You didn't have an age when you decided this was what you were going to be, it sounds like.
No, it wasn't until 6 months ago, really, that I decided I could do it. I always knew that I wanted to do something big. And I had a lot of frustration along the way, even working as a receptionist. I knew that I wanted to be more. I just couldn't see the big picture. Mm-hmm. And I actually suffered I had a lot of depression and anxiety. I went through a really bad patch there because I just couldn't see where it was going, life in general. I didn't see the point. I knew that I was more than what I was, but I really couldn't see the end game. But I think just having that faith in yourself and knowing that you don't necessarily have all the answers right now, but just understanding that one day you will, and sticking in there, Hank, like knowing that life's a process and you don't necessarily get everything straight away. Otherwise, what would be the point, really? You had it all on a platter. What would be the point? So, hanging in there. And, because depression and suicides, I think it's getting worse. I think the problem's getting worse when because we've got so much information and we are told of, we can, seize the day and take on the world. As a young person, they do kind of pump you through full with all these things when you're leaving university, saying, yeah, you can conquer the world.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a little much.
It just takes time, yeah. Give them a reality check. Like, understand that you're going to walk into an entry level position and they're going to ask you to do filing. It's not exciting.
Yeah, but you have to do it as an entry level person.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think that's really communicated a lot to young people. I think we're kind of giving them a false impression of what the real world is like. You have to do the really ordinary jobs to get to the really good ones.
And what can someone expect to make in an entry-level position in insurance?
It depends on your qualifications. So if you've done your Bachelor of Commerce, if you've done it the right way, you finished uni, you finished year 12, you did your university degree, and then you're looking for an entry-level position, the salaries are actually pretty good. They're around 40 or 50K a year, plus super.
Is that pounds or dollars?
Australian dollars.
Okay, Australian dollars.
So we're on par with the US at the moment. Slightly better than you, actually.
Oh, okay.
But not by much. We're just about on par.
Uh-huh, okay.
But then if you don't have any experience and you just want to enter as a receptionist and then move up from there, you can go in the insurance industry. You don't necessarily need a qualification because they will give you the qualifications you need. If you stay in a role for a minimum of 12 months, usually they will actually pay for your qualification through that. So the entry level salary for that would be about 35 to 40. So it's a pretty big jump, and it's a pretty big incentive for people to finish their university degree.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, can you think of anything else you'd like to tell young people or anyone who might be considering your field?
Don't be afraid. Don't be scared, and just keep going, I think, this is the big message for young people, because, it can be quite daunting, the big world, and you never know where it's going to take you, but just have faith that one day, if it's meant to be, something will happen, and then you'll understand why it all happened in the first place.
Well, thank you, Kate, so much for being with us today.
That's okay. No problem.